Our scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down when what he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. And then he told me, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." And once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. And now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I become aware of God's presence as we talk about and think about what we just read. I want to tell you about this certain college recruiter who was interviewing a high school basketball star. So the recruiter said to this young man, "Man, I hear you're pretty good." And he responded, "I'm the best there is. I average 45 points per game. I was the best rebounder in my high school. And I led our team to 3 undefeated seasons and 3 state championships." "Wow, that's incredible," said the recruiter. "Now come on, be honest, tell me, do you also have any weaknesses?" "Well," said the youngster a bit sheepishly, "I do have a tendency to exaggerate." Sounds a little like many of us, doesn't he? We know from the writings of the Apostle Paul that he was really an optimistic, mostly a positive person, and that he had the ability to inspire and energize not only the people of his time, but since then, through his writings, people of all ages. Nothing could get him under ever. And then suddenly he changes the tune in one of his writings and he says, "By the way, I've got something to tell you. I'm not all that good and great. I have a weakness, a personal weakness, something that I want to tell you about." And he calls it the gift of a handicap. And I checked several translations. It boils down to, he refers to his weakness as the gift of a handicap. And it raises an important question. Obviously, all of us wonder, what could this handicap possibly be? Now, folks, there are many theories. The fact is, we do not know. No one seems to know for sure. But one thing we do know, the apostle says that it kept him from being too elated or overly proud. So he was actually talking about a handicap that was a blessing in disguise. Now we need to know that two of the most powerful men that ever lived, Julius Caesar and Napoleon, were both epileptics, as have been many other great individuals in history. And in Paul's day, there was no effective medicine to control seizures. So, if that, for instance, was the thorn in Paul's flesh, then in those days, he was stuck with it, and there was no way to get rid of it. That brings us to this day. What about you and me? Anybody here without any weakness whatsoever? We all have weaknesses. No one is perfect. And I know that may be a difficult thing for some of us to admit. Many of us sort of admitted it when we were young, that, you know, that we're great and we're super like this young football star. But as we grow older, as we gain experience in life, and as we become aware who we really are, we know we have weaknesses. No one's perfect. And sometimes all of us do exaggerate. I don't think it's a sin or anything like that. I think it's a tendency that many of us have. And let's face it, some people are legends, unfortunately, only in their own minds. Some of our weaknesses are physical, some are mental, some are of a moral nature. Some of those weaknesses have to do with our work, some with our family life, and some in our private lives, and some with our faith. No one is 100% perfect. But maybe, reading scripture, that's not as bad as it sounds. Because actually we learn that our weaknesses can become strengths if they cause us to grow and to reach beyond our limitations. So Paul discovered why he had this problem. And he discovered in his own life that his handicap resulted in the power of Christ resting upon him. So no wonder then, when he writes, he rejoices not in the fantastic things that he did in his life, and he surely accomplished a lot, but he actually rejoiced in his infirmities, in his reproaches, and in his sufferings. When he was weak, he became strong, not through his own power, but through God's power. So handicaps can become strengths if they strengthen our determination. And when transformed by faith, our weaknesses will become strengths. Perhaps if it had not been for a thorn in his flesh, Paul would never have realized that the power of God could also work through him, no matter who or what he was. And we know today, centuries later, without God's power, the Apostle Paul would have remained a great unknown. So let's complain a little bit less about our weaknesses. And if you find yourself handicapped with a sour lemon, seek and find the recipe to turn it into lemonade. In our times, I cannot think of a better illustration than the inspiring story of Helen Keller. Helen was blind and deaf from the age of 19 months. Yet Helen inspired millions by sharing her experiences and insights with the world, and she did it through the media. Ellen firmly believed that no pessimist, listen to this, she said, no pessimist could ever discover the secret of the stars, or sailed an uncharted land, or opened a new doorway for the human spirit. So Helen Keller literally went where no one had gone before. She opened a new doorway for the human spirit. Before she could speak and read, she earned respect and received support as an underdog. And at the end of her life, no one could call her a loser. And I think that's the point worth understanding. She accepted help, which many people would refuse to do simply because they fear that others would label them as helpless or a loser. She overcame her worst disabilities and turned them into her greatest strengths. Winners, therefore, are not people without weaknesses or disadvantages, but they are those who have identified their weaknesses and their disadvantages and worked hard to overcome them. Losers are those who have not done one or the other. Identify your weaknesses and disadvantages, and overcoming them becomes easier the moment when we begin to identify them and admit them and tell others even that we have them. There are no solutions to the problems of life until we accept what our problems really are. Solutions simply never go around hunting for problems to solve. If our weakness helps us to grow, if our weaknesses makes us more determined to succeed, if our weakness causes us to try new things, and if our weakness causes us to rediscover the way to the heart of God, let me tell you this morning, our weakness can and will become our strength. Our scar will become a star. Our hurt will become a halo. Power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says that God's answer to him was, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own, and it does so, says the Bible, in your weakness. And therefore, we are not inviting people to the communion table this morning because they are such great Christians and some such good people and so blameless and so without faults. We are invited to this table because we have a master who said, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, come now to the table of God's love and God's grace. Many of us love to sing, just as I am. Thou tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come. Amen.